Today's daf is daf Samachai. Yesterday, you will recall that we were in the middle of the drusha of Im Himatzeiti Matzei Biyado HaGneva Mishor At Chamor At Se Chaim Shnayim Mishalim. There was a major machlokas about whether that pasuk is the makor of the din of kefil for a ganav, or whether the makor of a din of kefil for a ganav is actually the first pasuk that appears in the topic of Tein Tainas Ganav. In which case, Im Yimatzei HaGanav, which is referring to, according to one man, the real Ganav, then he should pay Shnayim, is the Din HaKefil, in which case we were wondering, so what was the whole point of Im Yimatzei Timatzei, which was the drush of the Talmud of Chizkia. Please try to recall all of this. So it turned out that Im Yimatzei Timatzei, according to the man, who says it's not coming for the Chiddush of the Talmud of Chizkia, that a Ganav is Mishalim Kefil across the board, because that I actually know, from the pasuk, the first pasuk in the parsha that continues with Toin to Anad Ganav, Imi Matzei Timatzei is telling me a chiddush that only if the findings he matzei in court are through witnesses, then Yishalim Shnayim. But if there's no findings in court, but rather he himself is the source of the so-called findings, then there's no din of Shnayim Yishalim. The problem is we had two psukim that would be saying the same thing because it says Asher Yashiun Elohim Prat LaMashia Et Atzmo. So anyway, we know that a Meida B'Knas is Potter. What then is the additional value of Himatzei Timatzei to tell me that even if he's Meida and then Achar Kach Bo Edim, that it has to be the initial findings that come through Edim and not through his Hoda'ah? So it turns out that the Machlokas regarding the Sugi of Ganav and Toin Tainas Ganav ends up having implications for things that are completely not related to the din of Ganav directly, which is the general din of Meida B'Knas, and we end up having a machlokas, whether we only have one pasuk, in which case we only know the din of Meida B'Knas Potter, but we don't, from Asher Yashino Elohim Prat HaMashiach Atzmo, but we don't know that if Achar Kach Bo Edim Yuli Potter in Achinami. According to that man D'Yomar, you can't have a leap from being Mechayev Al Pi Edim to Meida B'Knas Potter is to take Meida B'Knas Potter Asher Yashino Elohim, even in a case where Elohim could be Mashiach. If they're Edim, then Elohim can be Mashiach. You need the extra pasuk. Therefore, it turns out that there's a machlokas about whether Meida B'Knas V'Achach Bo Edim is Chayav. So that's the last words that we read yesterday, which is the second line of the big lines on Samach Dalet Amud Beit. Continues the Gemara. Now, L'man D'Yomar Chad B'Ganav, V'Chad B'To'in T'Anat Ganav. Where does that man Yomar, he learns out Gana from where? From this case of Toin Tanat Gana, right? So Mihata. So Pishlema im Himatzei Timatzei. Okay, what does he do with the din of Himatzei Timatzei? As we said before, look at a Rava Bara Hiloi. He uses that drasha. Was the drasha of Rava Bara Hiloi, Meida B'Knas, V'Achakach Bo Edim Patur? Very good. But for heaven's sakes, the Tanat V'Chizke was a rather complex and sophisticated drasha that utilized the Matzei Timatzei with the din of the Devei Rabbi Yishmael, that you could turn it into a klal, or a riboy, miad riboy, where we have the Ma'arava, klal, prato, klal, but for heaven's sakes, you can't ignore the pratim. You can't just look at the Matzei Timatzei and say, okay, there's your drasha. That's very nice, the Matzei Timatzei. What about the rest of the pasuk? What about Geneva? What about Shor, Sech, Amor, Chayim? What about all of those things now? Nothing means anything? Shekolani prati, lovely. What are all of those things doing there? If I know all of the halachas that the Tanit Vechizkiah derived from it, I know it directly from the pasuk that appears by Toin Tanat Ganav, which is Marbe, exactly the same things in the case of the Shomer. And that pasuk adds that she do not need a Shvuah. No. So what's the point? Says the Gemara, you know what? There is no point. We've been going to leave it at Tanit Rabbi Shmuel. Well, you should know that this works in perfectly well because Kedatanet Devei Rabbi Yishmael. The Tanet Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Kol Parasha Shenemra V'Nishneit, Lo Nishneit Ela L'Davar Shenitchadesh Bo. It's very possible that you will find a parsha that seems to be saying precisely the same thing as information was given you in another parsha, which is the case over here. The parsha of Ganav is telling you exactly the same list of pratim that the parsha of Toin Ta'anat Ganav by Ashur Merchinam tells you. So you're asking, so what's the point? The point is, im Himatzei Timatzei. That's the point. And what is that teaching me? That's teaching me that Meida B'Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim is indeed Potter. So what's all the rest of it? The rest of it is a reference to that, which is a given. That's all. We don't need every time to darshan new ideas if we've already established halakha, because the Torah will now refer back or forward, as the case may be, in this case forward, to those halakhas. So in this case, there's one thing that was nitchadeshba, and that nitchadeshba was, in fact, this halakha. So, and why not say, really, ve'ema ganavatzmo should only pay in exactly the same way as the Toin Tanat Ganav pays, namely with a shvuah. I mean, fine, you're right. It's not a kavachomer, so we're not limited by dayo, I understand. But, I mean, certainly the context of that entire pasuk is Ara Elohim. So why not say it means with a shvuah? No. Lo sakataitach. Forget about that, man. Because the Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov Amir, Shnayim Yishalem. When the Torah says Shnayim Yishalem, that is referring to Shalom B'Shvuah. Oh, that's really great. I'm supposed to take his word for it. I'm asking you, how do you know? Oh, in Ela B'Shvuah. Ach, please, Amrit Lo Kachaya. That's ridiculous. That's a great argument. It's ridiculous. What is that supposed to mean? My Lo Kachaya. Now, Amr Abaye, what he's trying to tell you is that makes it so obvious. It's so obvious, but I'm going to relate to it. Because Lo Lichtov Rachmana Shnayim Yishalem Beganav. If you think that we're going to be left with the din of a ganav paying kefal only where he makes a shvuah, you can leave out the entire parsha. Because I already know that information. From where? From a kavachomer? From a Toin Tanat Ganav? What was your problem with the kavachomer? Only that I was left with dayo. So just like the Toin Tanat Ganav pays only b'shvuah, the ganav would have paid only b'shvuah, which is an intolerable situation. No. But now you're saying maybe even with the pasuk, that's the situation? So then don't bother telling me the pasuk. You don't have to say the whole parsha. Because then, leite bekavachomer mitoin tanat ganav, let the Torah not talk about shnayim yishalem beganav at all. Don't even talk about this kefal jazz. It's completely irrelevant. I know that din from the kavachomer from toin tanat ganav. Look, if a toin tanat ganav, who never took anything, he just kept something. It was a betera utterly yadei. How did it get to him? The owner willingly gave it to him. And nonetheless, the Torah says, lishalem, Trey, let him pay. Kefal, the ganavat smoke. We're over there. It was bisurat liyade. Lo kol shekein, that he would pay at least what the equivalent of tining that there's a ganav. Ela, shnayim yishalem. So now I ask you, you tell me, why does it say shnayim yishalem? They cut the rachmana, the ganavat smoke, lamali. That's what Rabbi Yaakov is saying. But obviously it means afilu shalom b'shvuah. So that's closed. We're not going to discuss that sugya. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute. Everybody's very happy with this imatzei. Either we're using it to tell me the din, like the Tanan of Echizkia, of Ganavatzmo, or we're using it to tell us the din of Meir B'Knaz V'Yachach Bo'edim, and we're all very happy. Except for one minor inconvenience. That imatzei happens to be addressing a completely different halacha. La'ach yudiyata. What about the Braita that tells us that we use imatzei for the following? Ha'mibayli l'dekit Tanya. If the Torah says, Im imatzei biyado hagneva. We've dealt with every word of this pasuk. Imatzei, timatzei, geneva, shor, chabor, ser, chayim, shnayim, yeshalim. Every word. There's only one little word you left out, and you didn't think about it. And that is biyado. So now the question is, what does the biyado imply? I mean, ein li ela yado. The point over here is that he actually took it with his hands. In other words, what he did over here was did a maisa in this thing, and that's the way that he became the ganav. How about if he didn't do that? How about if it was in gago, chatzero, karfefo, which means, now Rashi learns, not here, but Rashi Bermitzia learns that this means, if the animal wandered on its own, onto his roof, and he takes away, he closes the gate. Or in his karfaf, he closes the gate. He did no maisa whatsoever. So it's now a passive geneva. Tosef says it's talking about over here, that a kinyan is chotzer. Okay, that's a shiloh, how it would work. If it works with the din of shlichus, maybe that would be the chiddush. That ain't shlich l'dvar aveira. So you might think the same way you couldn't appoint a shlich to do that, you can't apply the din of shlichut to your chotzer. Okay, but there's other issues also over here. The chiddush over here is that when the shlich does not have any shaykhs to mitzvot, the chotzer obviously has no shaykhs to mitzvot, then we don't say that ain't shliach l'dvar avera. In fact, it would be chal for you, the kinyan. In any event, so the Gebrite over there says, how do we know that too would be makayev yukefel? Talmud lomar, im hi matzei ti matzei, which is a riboy, mikol makom. So actually, we need im matzei ti matzei to tell me the extended definition of what it takes to become a ganav. And that's the most primal utilization of the word timatze, because it's an actual understanding of the words. It's not just a rebu. If in any way it would be found in his hands. So what does that tell you? It tells you a lot of things, but certainly it's not discussing on a simple level, is it? It's certainly not discussing a klal prat or klal of what it was that he was stolen. So how can everybody use it for these other purposes? Mikomako, says the Gemara, because imkein. If you think that that was the full utilization of the imatze, timatze, why do you need imatze, timatze? Just say, himatze, himatze. Timatze, timatze. What's himatze, timatze? So Midashonikra, since the Torah goes out of its way to change now the use of the word, they can't both be coming just to be an extended vision of what mitziah we're talking about. How is it found in his hand? It's rather also a reference to what it was that was found in his hand, and therefore it means to be utilized in terms of the pratim, which is the way the Tanya de Bechizkiah learns, or it's coming to tell me how it was found by the court in his hands, not rather how it got to be in his hands in the first place. So it means timatze has three levels of interpretation, basically. Either it's telling us how it got to be there, or the other extreme is it's telling us how the court got to its findings, or the middle, which is the Tanya de Bechizkiah, it's telling us what it was that was Matsur Biyadu, as a Klal Prat U'Klal. Okay, we now basically have ended the discussion about the very complex interrelationship of the Parshiot of Ganav and Toin Tanat Ganav, with some reference also to the Dinim of Shomer Socher, where there would be a Taina not of Ganav, but we did have an equivalent Taina of Listi Mezuyin and so on. So we got a little bit into that by proving that we need to have a Shvua, and that, of course, became central to understanding Ganav and Toin Tanat Ganav. And because of that, we're going to have more about the nature of the Shvua, where it was Makrish Yisriyev, as we go on today. But before we do, let's go back, because remember that we also had a discussion of what the meaning was in the Pasuk of Ganav, the continuation of Yimatze Timatze, where over there it says, Geneva, HaGeneva, Mishorat Hamaratze, Chaim. What was the meaning of HaGeneva and Chaim if we were darshaning it with a Ribui Miut Ribui? We had nothing to do with that. So the Gemara said before, well, that's coming to tell me the Chiddush of Rav. What's Rav's Chiddush? Geneva Chaim. Namely, you must be restoring. Chaim means bring back to life. The Geneva as the Geneva. Qua the Geneva. Which means if there was a change in the Geneva between the time of the Kiev or of the Shvicho Mechira and the time at which it was stolen, then you go according to the time it was stolen. But only HaGeneva. Only the actual Karen, not the Kefil, not the Arba V'Chamisha. That was all what Rav. Now, we didn't go into it there, and now the Gemara is a rather startling statement. And we need to define it a little bit, because, I mean, first of all, does the statement mean only if the value goes down? The statement means even the value goes up. Does the statement mean even if you were Toveach U'Mocher, when the thing is worth more? Does the statement of Rav mean when the value went up because of investment that you made in it? Or even when the value went up because of market changes? How about if the value went up because the animal simply grew up? So now it's worth more. It's been a year since you stole it, and only now they find it, and so on and so forth. So all of these issues now we need to get into, because Rav made a statement that is challenging and didn't explain it. So Gufa. Omar Rav, Gufa. Omar Rav, Keren Ke'in Sheganal, Tashlume Kefel V'Tashlume Arba'a V'Chamisha, Kisha'at Ha'amada B'Din. So when it comes to define what it is that you've got to pay for the actual principal that you stole, so then in Achinami, you go according to the time of the Geneva. But when it comes to define the fine of double, or Arba V'Chamisha, a case where you shechted the animal or sold it, that goes according to the time now. Kisha'at Ha'amada B'Din, which the Rosh explains, Ha'amada B'Din may be very nice for Kefa when it comes to Tficho Mechira. Clearly, Ha'amada B'Din would have to take reference to the act of the Tvicha, because that's when you took it away completely. You shechted it, right? So it may be a rather loose use of the word Ha'amada B'Din when it comes to Dalet Vehe. Okay, this is Machlokas Rishon. In any event, where does Rav get this from? My time in the Rav, and we know, because we saw this earlier. Omar Akra Gneva V'Chaim. So, Amayka Amar Achamana Chaim V'Gneva. But what then is the Torah focusing on when it says alive on the Geneva? Must be coming to tell me the Geneva per se, which is the Karen, that which you took the initial value Achyeh l'keren, make it alive again, to be what it was in the old days when you stole it. Ke'en sheganav. And that's the definition. Rav Sheshes said, you know, I think Rav was having a richy day. Amina kinayim v'shochi Rav. I mean, he must have been half asleep when he said that. Because it goes against the well-established bright at the time. Kechusha. A guy steals an animal that is a very thin and broken-down animal. V'hishmina. And now he goes ahead and he invests in it. And he makes it now a great, valuable animal. So the deal is over there. It says, "Beferish mishalim tashlume kefa, v'tashlume arba'a chamisha, ke'en sheganav." That he pays back a kechusha, which is a cheap animal. Now, Rav is claiming that, I mean, half of the statement of Rav was, is that kefel and arba'a v'chamisha does not go according to the shata geneva. And here does it go, beferish, goes according to shata geneva. Again, the simplistic view of what Rav said is that it doesn't matter whether the price goes up or the price goes down. Doesn't matter why the price went up, whether it was market fluctuations, whether it was investment, whether it grew up on its own. So with that simplistic view of what Rav was saying, indeed, he must have been fast asleep. I mean, because here we know that that's not the case. Says the Gemara, well, obviously, that case wasn't included. Because what are you suggesting? You're suggesting that Rav meant to say that if you steal something and then you change it completely and you invest in it and now you turn it into a very expensive animal because you've been working it now with force feeding the best food for the past year, that you should go according to the Tashlume Kefa of Arba'a V'chamisha like it is now. That's ridiculous. Because over there, Mishum Da'amalei, the Ganav obviously can say, look, Ana Patim Nava'at Shakalta, I mean, I made this investment. It's what I'm mechuyev to pay you now. Take that investment that I made and double it and give it to you. Or four times or five times. I understand. What I took from you, fine. I'll pay. But certainly, I mean, what, the Torah is going to fine me to give you according to my investment in your animal, which is, that doesn't make sense. Tashma. Okay, and how about this case? In other words, Rav was never talking about a case where it goes up in value because of the investment of the ganav. That's not included. But there's some question among the Rishonim whether it necessarily has to be the investment of the ganav. Is the whole point over here ana patimna, or might there be just this is like saying it in an extreme? But let's take a look at how this sugya develops to see the other possibilities. Tashma shibena vehikrisha. He the ganav takes this beautiful animal that's in great shape, and he works it half to death. And now the animal is worth very little. So it's kachush. Mishalem tashlume kefa, v'tashlume arba v'chamisha, ke'en sheganav. There he's got to pay back even the kefel, even the arba v'chamisha, based on the value of this nice fat animal, which is what it was at the time that he stole it. Says the Gemara again. Well, that case was also not the case Rav was referring to. Because there the owner can say to the ganav, the court will say to him, Mali katla kula, Mali katla pagma. I don't understand. Now, there's a big machlokas, I don't understand these words. Rashi understands like this. Are we agreed that when you ended up shechting the thing, at that point it was the Torah was mechayev you arba v'chamisha? Well, let me tell you something. When you started ruining my animal, that's the beginning of its death. Now you're saying, so now you finished it off with the grand shechita. You've been shechting this animal gradually for the past 6 months. So therefore, the act of the akhasha itself was the beginning of the tvicha. It's a rather mechudish, rather a stretch. But this is the way that Rashi understands it. All right, let's take first the sugya. Kipshuta, we're going to get into the machloks, and there's machloks on each and every line in the sugya. So there I understand that, of course, Rav did not refer to such a case. So what was Rav referring to then, for heaven's sakes? Rav was talking about market fluctuations, not physical fluctuations in the animal. Market fluctuations. Okay, let me understand that. Hey, Chidami, tell me about these market fluctuations. So let me understand the market fluctuations. Hey, Chidami. Let's say. Initially, at the time that he stole it, was worth one zuz. Market changes, and now the bull is worth four zuz. Now you're saying that the keren goes according to its original value. So you're only going to pay him back a zuz. This is amazing. You stole a zuz. The guy would have had four zuz. It's exactly the same thing that it was, but you managed to keep it away from him, so you only pay a zuz. Gee. So and then you're saying now that lema pliga de rava de rava? Is this a machlokus? Because we certainly know that Rabbah does not say that. I mean, he says, Dema Rabbah, Haiman de gozo chavita de kamra mechave. A guy steals a barrel of wine from his friend, which was initially mekor shav yezuz, was worth, let's say, one zuz. Now it goes up, and it's worth four zuz. And that was the case that you gave me about the shor, right? So it says over there, says Rabbah, suppose he breaks the barrel, or he drinks the wine. He pays according to the current shovi. So he pays arba. Why? Because he was doing, basically, he went ahead and he broke it. So it was at that time that he did the breaking or did the drinking. That's going to value what it was that the damage was. But itvar memela mishalim zuza. On the other hand, if it went ahead now and didn't do it biyadayim, so over there, he's mishalim only one zuz. So now the point over here is that as long as no change is in it, he has to return this thing. So then the halacha is that it's all in the rishus of the owner. And it goes according to the value at that time, if that's the case. So then at the moment that he breaks it, that's when he did the geneva. If, however, this happened all on its own, it was itmar memela, so now what are you going to be machayiv him on? You're a big b'chayiv him on for his initial act, not for his current act. He didn't do another act. His initial act of the geneva. So at that point, it was worth one zuz. Now, tficha u'mechira. Tficha u'mechira is the equivalent of tavra b'yadayim, correct? So if you were tavra b'yadayim, according to what Rava is saying now over here, shalim arba. So according to Rav, we said, now you're talking, that's what we're saying if initially it was worth four, so then the keren is ke'en sheganav, which is four. I mean, obviously Rav agrees that if afterwards it was worth more, and that's when you went ahead and you did a maisa, so then naturally it's defined by that maisa. What Rav is saying is that if initially it was worth four zuz and then it went down, you would pay the keren according to the original higher value. That's what he's saying, that you would pay the four. The tashlumi kefa, the tashlumi arbava chamisha, that you only have to pay kishat hamada bedin. So now we're being very, very, we're limiting Rav tremendously. We're saying Rav wasn't talking about changes in the actual body of the animal that came through interference. Rav was talking about market fluctuations and not any market fluctuation. Obviously, if you did an act where you actually drank the thing, broke the thing, or did anything, tvichu mechira, certainly, we would view the keren as its value at that time as well. Rav was talking about where, in fact, it was worth more lechatchila. And what he's telling you is, even though you'll say, aha, so it's now that he destroyed it, that has nothing to do with it. The Torah is mechadesh, we're going to be mechayev you for what it was at the higher value earlier. Now, Tani Rebbe Chanina l'siyuei l'Rav. Rebbe Chanina says, I think I can actually prove Rav's point. A balabayit sheta'anta dat ganav b'pikadon. It's a little bit misleading because the balabayit over here really means the shomer. So now he's tainan tointan is ganav, he's a shomer chinam. He's nishpa, and he's maiden. Okay. So normally the din is a nishpa b'sheker, who's maiden, has to bring a carbon asham. He pays the value of a thing, and then he pays an additional chomesh. Problem is, in this case, since he was a tointan is ganav, had he been found as the ganav, he would have paid kefa. Since he was made of the atzmo, he potters himself from the kefa. But the hodami atzmo is what's b'chayev in the chomesh. So he doesn't pay kefa, but he does pay chomesh. Now, how about if afterwards now come along eidim? So how about nishba vodu bo eidim? So im ad shelo bo eidim hoda. If he had been moda before the eidim came, so then we said, made of achakach eidim is potter, for what? For the kefa. Okay, so then, of course, he still has to be Meshalim Keren Chomesh Vasha. How about if after the Eidim come, he comes now and he's made it. So now, he obviously is going to have to be Meshalim Teshul Mekefa. But his Haidah, when it comes to the din of the Geneva, is not a function of him being made that the Eidim are telling the truth. It's a Haidah that he did the wrong thing. So his Haidah should still be Mechayivim an Asham and a Chomesh. Well, the din is that he does bring an Asham in that case, but he doesn't pay a Chomesh. because the Chumash is included in his Tashlumei Kefel, which is rather strange because it's two completely different things. The Kefel is basically a monetary fine. I mean, yes, it's true that they both go to the owner, that's true, but I mean, the din of a fine is not a din in a kapora at all, it's a fine. The din of the Chumash is a response to his wanting to do the right thing. The Torah gives him a kapora of a Chumash, and he isn't paying a Chumash, he's paying Kefel. Now, the only way that what Rabbi Yaakov says over Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, the only way that it would make sense, this is how Rashi understands it, is if the Chumash and the Kefel are precisely the same amount of money. So when he hands over that amount of money to the owner, he's saying, here is what I need to give you. Okay, so that has two possible explanations. Here's what I need to give you as your chomesh. So now I'm yotze my chomesh. So I said, where's my kefil? Well, you got double your money. So I was yotze the kefil too. But if they would be different amounts, we can't have two possible interpretations of the nesina. Now, of course, one would think that kefil and chomesh, by definition, can't be the same amount. One is double, and one is 25%. The only way that it could actually end up being the same amount is market fluctuations, where we would be defining the Chumash one way and defining the Kefil another way. Ah, and if that's the case, then this could work out. And that's going to be all right, obviously. You now opened up a great situation to experiment with what would happen if there were changes in the value. So, this is Rabbi Yaakov Shita. The Chachomim say the entire thing is a mistake from the beginning. You're claiming that we need to deal with a Chumash here? You don't need to deal with a Chumash. Because what the Torah said over here is that in a case, this is not the Parsha of Shemrin, not the Parsha of Tayyitan Ezganev, but the Parsha of the Halacha in Vayikra, of the Din of Nishba L'Sheker on Kviras Mamon. So what does it say over there? That if somebody's nishba l'sheker, b'kol asher yishav alav l'sheker, v'shilem oto birosho, v'chamishitav yosef alav. What do you mean, birosho? Pay with your head? What is birosho supposed to mean? Say the chachom, that's the point. If you're paying birosho, if you're paying what it was initially, keren, and no complications, then v'chamishitav, you add. Bamona mishtalem berosh, only money which has no kefel is something which is mosif chomesh. Mamon she'eno mishtalem berosh, ein mosif chomesh. So there's nothing to discuss, Rabbi Yaakov dear, about whether we add the kefel into the chomesh or it's separate. There is no chomesh. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is, yeah, you know what? And there is no ashram either. So if we have over here chomesh, ein chomesh, there's no ashram. Ein chomesh ve'asham mishtalem. There's no such thing, says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, other than in a case, probably the correct use is Mishtalmim, other than in a case where we have no Kefel. But b'makom she'esh Kefel, ein chomesh v'asha Mishtalmim. Okay, so we have three-way argument. Is there such a thing as chomesh with this Kefel? Is there such a thing as chomesh and asha with this Kefel? Or is there nothing? Fine. But let's get back to our issue. Our issue is, very fascinatingly, what Rabbi Yaakov says, Katani Miyad, you can have a Chomesh that equals a Kefil. How is that possible? So you could have Chomsho, Ololo Bikfelo, Rabbi Yaakov, can you explain to me, Eichi Domi? How in the world would such a big thing make sense now? So Ilay Midami Kora Shavya Arba, Lasov Shavya Arba. Let's take a simple case, because 1/5 is really 25%. Right? It means 1/5 of the total. Okay. So 25% at the end is 20% of the original amount. So let's, the easiest case then is 4, because 4 splits 4 ways, 25%. So let's say that initially was worth 4, and now it's worth 4, okay? What are you talking about? Chumsha lo bikvela. I mean, the kvela is going to be 4, and the chumish is going to be 1 zuz, 25%, not 100%. So how is that possible? El alav, the only way to make any sense of Rabbi Yaakov is to say that mikor shavi arba, ula besov shavi azuza. Now we're talking turkey. So originally it was worth 4 zuz, now it's worth 1 zuz. The kefel is mishtalem, as Rav said, according to what it's worth now. Ah, so the kefel is a zuz, but the chomesh is 25% of what it was when he stole it, which is a zuz. Ah, great. So that proves clearly to me that keren goes according to the Shasa Ganeva, but the kefel can't, because if the kefel did, then it would never be equal to the Chomesh by definition. So this proves Rav's contention. Amar Karen Kain Shigonav, but indeed Tashlumei Kefa, Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha, Kishat Amad Abedin. There's no other way to understand it. And nobody even complained about Rabbi Yaakov. Oh yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. 100% always equals 25%. What, has everybody lost their minds? So clearly we were taking Rav for granted. Amar Rav, well, I gotta hand it to you. It's cute, but it's certainly not definitive. Because, I mean, let's say we would take a case where initially it was Shava Arba, and now it's Shava Arba. Okay, so what's your problem? That the Kefal equals Arba, and the Chomesh equals a Zuz, right? How about in a case where you swore four times?
Each time lying.
So this guy takes you to one Bezdin, you swear, another Bezdin, you swear. The din is you would pay one Zuz for each of those swearings, and they're all going to the same guy. So now when you hand him over the four Zuz, so he says, here's what I got to give you. Thanks, but, you know, what about your Chomesh? I just gave you your Chomesh. So what about my Kefal? I just gave you your Kefal. So Memela, the Karkasha, your problem with, well, how if the Kefala is Arba, could the Chomesh be Zuza? Very simple. Hakama Eskinan, Gagonchenishba, the Chazavanishba, Arba Pamim. The halacha is that if every single time you swear, you go back to the original Karen and you pay it again. And if that's the case, you now were made at the end. Notice that the Torah did not say v'chamishito yosif alav. Strangely enough, it says v'chamishitav. Now, how could there be chamishitav in the plural? Aha. Clearly, you can be mechayev of yourself multiple chumshin for every time that you swear. That's what it's talking about. So Rabbi Yaakov's got a very cute case in which he addresses a couple of issues separately. And it's lovely. So there are Torah ripta chamishiyot arbe b'keren achat, information density. Great. Anyway, so it's no raya. All right, so let's get back now to what the Chachomim say. Omar, the Chachomim say, look, there is no Chomesh, because the Torah said Barosho. But they argue on Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and they say, we're perfectly happy for the guy to bring an Asha. The problem is that it's the same Pasuk. It's basically the next Pasuk that says, Ve'et Hashama. So you're telling me, the Chamishitav Yosif Alav, that's Dafka B'yom HaShmato. That's talking about where it's Moman and Mishtal and Barosh. Barosho V'chamishito. But the next Pasuk, that doesn't bother me. I don't understand. Chachomi Momen Barosho V'chamishito. Momon HaMishtal and Barosh Mosif Chomesh. Momon Shen Mishtal and Barosh Eino Mosif Chomesh. Aval Asham Maite? They argue with Shimon Bar Yochai and they say, well, we agree you can bring the Asham. I don't understand. Maishna Chomesh Dulo Mishale. You're telling me because Barosho defines Chamishito. Okay, Asham Nami Lo Mishalim. So how do you get an Asham if basically the next pasuk continues on Ve'et Ashamo? It's all one statement. So you bring now Chamishito Yosif Alav Ve'et Ashamo. So wherever you would have the Chomish Barosho, you have Ve'et Ashamo, right? I mean, that's where Shimon Bar Yochai obviously gets it from, that there's no Asham if it's not Moman and Mishalim Barosh. Dokti Barosho V'chamishito Ve'et Ashamo.
All together.
Amalek HaRabbanan, no. The word et acts as a complete division from the previous pasuk and tells you this is a new topic. So et chamishitov is all very nice. Otov v'chamishitov, but then ve'et hashamo, that's a new sugya. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you might have noticed that little line in front of the et, which is called a vav hachibur. You might have heard about that. So ve'et, obviously the Torah says ve'et, it's now telling me that this is includes, goes together with what you just said before. So, ve'et arvekra, says Rabbanan. Come on. I mean, if that's the point, you could have left out the whole thing. I mean, leave out the et. Yeah, you write an et to make me crazy, then you put it above to bring in the et. I mean, what would be the point of that? The only point's got to be to distinguish one din from the other din, no? So, lo lichtov Rabbanan, lo vav, velo et, according to you. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, there's no way to do that. There's no way to avoid the et, because these two inyanim cannot be mixed. They cannot be mixed for a different reason. One pasuk is referring to payments that you will be making in cash to a guy. And the other pasuk is referring to a karba that you will be bringing to Hashem. And now you're going to put the two together, pay your 25% at your karba. What? I mean, they're two completely different issues. One is kadesh, and one is chol. What do we throw the whole thing together? What are we, a bunch of money changers at the temple? Ay, 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 yeah. So therefore, let's be good Samaritans today, after all. Shem Yishmor. And what we need to do is distinguish between Kodesh V'chol. So et lo sagi lo katef avsuke. We need to be mavzik be mamon gavol a mamon head yet. It's not correct, put the whole thing together. It's called Derech Eretz. Speak of what you bring to the Beis HaMikdash in the same breath as what it is that you're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you need to write the S. Once you write the S, it's misleading. Because people may think, so then you're telling me the Rosho doesn't... No. The S, to make sure that we apply the Rosho that applied to Chamishitav, should also to apply to Asham. No Rosho, no Asham. Kefel, no Asham. Fine. So there, we have the Vav, now comes back, Ata Vav, Arve Krav, puts it back where it belongs, and now we know the Halacha. Amar Rav Eloi. Rav Eloi says, but there's another issue here that everybody is ignoring, which is an immensely important question. The din is that you can't be chayev on tvich or mechira unless it's the owner's animal that you're toveach u'mocher, right? Suppose it became your animal in between. How does it become your animal in between? There's a din called shinui, which we're going to see we learn out from a pasuk, that if there is a significant change in the object, it's no longer viewed as the object that was stolen to belong to the owner. It is now your object. You have to replace the value of the object. But the initial object no longer exists. That would mean that if you made a shinui in something, and now you went ahead and were toveach u'mocher, it's your own. You were not toveach u'mocher, a geneva. Therefore, says Rabbi Lloyd, you know, you're all talking about animals that you changed by fattening them or by making them thinner. That's not a change, but there are very significant changes in animals. And those are changes that come with time. I mean, clearly, a egel looks, acts, and is called a completely different thing than a shor is. Right? So, I mean, on any level, you went ahead and you took an egel, and now it became a shor.
Nothing cute about a shor.
Oh, no. Nothing cute at all. So now that means that you've got basically a different animal. And it's also called a different animal. We'll see that that's significant too. Because there's such a thing as a shinui ma'aseh, which is a change in the actual mivneh and the structure of a thing. And there's such a thing as a shinui hashem, which relates to the question that you asked earlier, which we'll get to today. So says Rabbi Loi, Gadav tleh v'nasa ayo, or egel v'nasa shor. Now this is true of many species. The little tleh is not in any way similar to the ram. I mean, it's a completely different animal. And, you know, one can be very cute and a nice pet for your child. But, you know, when the ram comes at the dam, I mean, anyone knows it, but, you know, you never know. So now that's the ayah, the tleh was nasha ayah. The eagle is nasha shor. What happens over here is that the guy who stole it now owns a shor, not has a stolen shor. So that's a shinui. So nasha shinui biado. And at that point, he's kainet. And if he goes ahead now and does a tvichu mechira, that's his own animal. That's the point, and you've been ignoring that issue. So really, we have to take into consideration very many different parameters. First of all, we have to talk about what you did. Changes that were achieved, not in value stam, but changes that were achieved through fattening or through weakening. Fine, we discussed that. Changes in value, market fluctuations, we discussed that. Whether the fluctuations were in direction to lowering or getting more valuable, we discussed that. So it's all very nice. But how about changes in structure or changes in name, which everybody's been ignoring, and that's not correct to ignore it because there you don't get into the issue of Rav. There you get into the issue of Bichla, whether you were Toveach u'mocher, the animal, whether there would be a Chiyuv of Tashlum in Dalet v'Chamisha. That's my question. I, Taina, even though you didn't do anything, the bottom line is this animal has changed right there under your nose. As anybody who once had a nice, cute baby and turned into a teenager knows, they have nothing to do with each other. So basically, you know, it happened. It wasn't your fault. You didn't do anything, but it happened. So, in this case, when you shecht them, so well, I guess selling them is, you know,
marry them all.
Yeah. At that point, shalom tovev shalom mocher. Eight vei Rabbi Chanina Rabbi La ganav tlev v'nasa ayo egel v'nasa shor. And what are you going to do with this brayta? Mishalim tashlumi kefav tashlumi arba v'chamisha ke'in shganav. This makes no sense according to you. There cannot be such a case as a guy who stole an egel and it became a shor. He's going to pay. I don't care what value you're going to give me, whether it's ke'in shganav or whether it's ke'in. I don't care. Why is he paying according to you arba v'chamisha? Isak adaitach kanya b'shinui. Amay mishalim shalohu tovea shalohu mocher. Says Rabbi Lo, oh, and you can explain the Braita, right? I'm the only one that has problems with this Braita. But you walk around and you wave the Braita at me as if it makes perfectly good sense. Well, let's take a look at that Braita and we'll see it doesn't make any sense according to you, okay? I'm like, okay, let's have it your way, Elamai. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to say, nah, Rabbi Lo is all wrong, Shinui Loikana, and everything is great. Oh, yeah? So then Amai Meshalem Kein Shagana, Leshalem Ki Hashta. I don't understand how you understand this at all. How can it say that you're Meshalem over here, Kein Shaganav, when you did a Maisa, basically to steal it now? No. And he says, that makes sense to me, because Ki Hashta, well, later on we're going to see how this impacts on Rav's statement of earlier. Obviously, this is now hiding between the lines, which we're going to get to. So Amalei, that doesn't bother me, you see, because Haina time to Lomisham, the reason you don't pay it now by saying, the guy says, sir, I had an animal that happened to be hiding in your barn, but it was my animal, we agreed it was my animal, because it was no Shinui, and you destroyed my animal. So if you had burnt my animal up, would you say, well, I'm not going to pay you for burning your animal up. I mean, after all, it was in my barn and I put it there. I mean, obviously you pay because you destroyed my animal. So if over here, according to you, that's what you're saying, you should pay, destroying the animal. Says, no, the reason that you don't have to do that is because he tells him, your animal? You're saying, I have your animal, which now I am responsible for getting rid of. No, I never took this animal. Did I take a shor from you? I don't remember. Did you have a shor? Do you have witnesses you had a shor? Because that's funny. Everybody says you didn't even own a shor. You owned this little cute cat. Or you had a turagan vimimach. And dichragan vimimach. I don't understand. What did I steal from you that you're telling me I have to pay? Omar Lay said, oh my God. God should only help us from such insanity. I mean, you are a danger to society. Rachman and Nitzlan, me, I died. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. What's enough, Kamina? What it was called at the time. If Shinui is not Kaina, says Rabbi Zera, so what are you talking about? Well, you didn't have a shor, you can't sue me for a shor. Does that make sense to you? I'm the one who's crazy. God help us from people like you. You're going around and turning the world to be completely meshuggah. God steals an animal, turns into a teenager, and now it's your animal because it turned into a teenager. I've heard crazy things in my life, but nothing that approaches this. So we're talking about who's crazy. I would look in the mirror and not talk about me. Okay, now obviously we're going to have to, it's getting late, we're going to have to go back discussing the various shitas and understanding the sugyas that we've had here in the Gemara. This is an extremely complex and exciting sugya all the way through and has a lot of other implications because, you know what, can we just a little bit, a couple of lines because it's part of the same sugya? Which is, this is Nogea, what Bobby asked last week. Matkvah Reb Zera says Reb Zera to him, okay, fine. You don't want to consider it to be a Shinui Maisa. Very good. Not a Shinui Maisa. How about a Shinui Hashem? We're all agreed that a Shinui Hashem, before it was called an ego, and now it's called a shark. So forget about it. Fine. You say I'm crazy. But are we agreed that the word does not mean the same thing? Am I Rav? No, we're not agreed. Because shor, ben yomo, kore shor. An animal, the moment that it's born, you can use the overall rubric of shor to apply to it. So to an ayel ben yomo kori ayel, I'll prove it to you. Prove it to you from the pasuk. Shor ben yomo kori shor, dichtiv shor, o kesev, o eiz, ki yivaleit. No? Shor, ki yivaleit. That means it's an infant. You're calling it a shor. So obviously a shor is a general term. In order for you to be able to prove a shinui hashem, you have to have exclusive usages of a different word. You can't have a word that would have included both visions of the same thing. So that means obviously it's not a different kind of thing. If one word can refer to it. I can prove the same thing by ayo, by the way. Yaakov Avinu tells Laban, ve'elei tzonecha lo achalti. I've been working for you for 20 years and I never had any of your elim. Ah, so what should Laban say? Aha! So you admit that you've been eating the young animals all along, right? It's only the elim I got you. Very sneaky, Mr. Sneaky One. Obviously, Yaakov Avinu is convinced that in saying that word, he's saying, I never touched any of your animals, big or small. But, so what is Yaakov Avinu saying? Elimu de loachal. He never ate the big animals, but certainly he feasted on the kvasim. Aba kvasim akal. So you see clearly that the usage of the word ayil in the pasuk is that ayil ben yomo korui ayil. So basically we do have a non-shinui over here. Okay, fine. We're left with a problem. Okay? According to Rabbi Zeira, we don't have an explanation of the Braita yet. Rabbi Chanina claims he has an explanation. Rabbi Zeira doesn't like it. As far as why it would be considered a Shinei Aliv Rabbi Chanina, a Shinei Hashem, that I can explain away. As far as why it is that we're going to be paying now Kishas HaGneva, that I can also explain away. So the only thing that we're left with is a question. Just remember, Aliv Rabbi Zeira, why is it possible to pay Arba B'Chamisha when a guy stole a calf and it turned into a shor? It may not be a Shinei Hashem, maybe we disprove, but according to Rabbi Zeira, it's a Shinei Maisa. But what do you do with Kolani Prati Lamali? Get a ton of the very Rabbi Shmuel, the ton of the very Rabbi Shmuel. Kol parashar shenem rav nishneit lo nishneit elo le davar shenit chadesh ba. Ve'im agana v'atzmo b'shvua. Nah, lo zagadaita. Zitanya Rabbi Yaakov omer shnayim yishalem shelo b'shvua. Atova shelo b'shvua, wait elo b'shvua. Amrit, please. Lo kakaya. Meaning what? My lo kakaya. I'm Rabbi, because then lo lichta v'rachmane shnayim yishalem b'ganav at all. V'leite b'kava chomer mitoynta not ganav. Ma toin tana ganav de bet terati liyade omakro li shalem trei. Ganav atzmo di bisurat liyade. Lo koshike. So what's the point of writing shnayim yishalem the katav rachmane b'ganav atzmo lamali? To tell me that the ganav pays shalo b'shvua kefal. The toin tana is ganav pays only b'shvua kefal. Vaim a matzeti matzei lo akudata. Hamiboy li likiritanya. Yado, eli ala yado. Gago chatzero, karfifo minayin, tamud lomar, im imatzei, timatzei mikol makom. Im kein lei makro, o, imatzei, imatzei, o, timatzei, timatzei. But in a shani kra, we get this drasha, plus either the drasha of the etzem drasha, or the drasha of Rava about the meida b'knas, v'achkach bo edim gufa. Omarav Karen Gainchiganav, Tashume Kefa, Tashume Arbaba Kamisha, Kishata Amadabadin. My time with the Rav, Omar Kro Gineva Vechaim. Amai Komarachmona Chaim Bigineva, to tell me Achiel the Karen Gainchiganav. Omrev Sheshes, whoa. Amina Kinaim Veshoki Rav, Omarla Schweitzer. The Tanya Kehusha Vishmina, Mishan Tashume Kefa, Tashume Arbaba Kamisha, Gainchiganav. Of course. That's Mishum Domerle. Ana Batimna Va'at Shakal. Tashma? Shmei Navi Krisha. Meshalat Tashlume Kefel. The Tashlume Arbava Kamisha Ke'in Shiganav. How do you explain that? No, Atom Nam Mishum Domerle. Mali Katla Kula, Mali Katla Palka. But Kika Marav is only market fluctuation. Yukra Vizulu Dekama. Vahechidami. Is that true? Lema pliga the rava the rava? The Amar Rava Aiman the Gosta Kavita the Khamri Mikavri? Mikara Shavya Zuza Labasov Shavya Arba Zuze. If Tavre Oshati Mishalim the Arba Zuz. It from a mela Mishalim the Zuz. So you see that you go certainly according to a higher value. Amri kikom arav kigon debikar shavi arba lavsom shavi yezuza. Keren ken shiganav, tashlumi keva, tashlumi arba v'chamisha, kishat hamad abedin. Toni Rebbe Chanina l'siyo el rab. Ba'al ha-bayit shetan tanat ganav v'pikadon. V'nishba v'hoda. Ubo edim, im ad shalo bo edim odam v'shalim keren v'chomish v'hasham. V'im misha bo edim odam v'sham tashlumi keva v'hasham v'chomish ololo b'kvelo. Divi Rebbe Yaakov. V'chom im omri. The Torah says, "Berosho v'chamishato." Only momon amishtalim berosh has a din of chomesh, but ein mishtalim berosh ain't a masif chomesh. Rishon Bayechai says it's more than that. There's no hashem either. Ein chomesh v'hashem mishtalim. B'makom sheyesh kefal. Anyway, katani miyad chumsho olelo bikvelo divrei Rabbi Yaakov neichidami ilei medamikor shavi arba lusov shavi arba. Chumsho lolo bekvelo, it's two different things. Kvelo arba'a, chumsho ezuza. El olav de mikor shavya arba'a. Ulo besov shavya zuza. De kvelo zuza ve chumsho zuza. Alma keren, it's clearly kensha ganav. Teshlumi kevo, teshlumi arba'a v'chamisha. Kishata mandu ad bedin. If not, there would never be a way out of this. Amar Rav, of course, there's a way out of it. Liolam, take a simple case. Mikar Shavi Arba, Shlam Shavi Arba, okay? You got a problem, the Karkasha, then we have different values for the Kefal and the Chomesh. Kveil is Arba, Vachum Shezuzi? Not necessarily. Hachma is Kina, Gocha Nishba, Vachos of Nishba, Arba Pahamim. And then he goes and he's Maida. He pays four times. Because a Torah Amrava Chamishi Tav. That means that Torah Ripta Chamishiot Arbe, Bekeren Achat. Rabbanan Rabbi Chava, if that's the case, just leave the whole thing out, no? I mean, lo lichtav Rabbanan lo vav, velo et. Rabbi Shimon Rechoy HaMelacha, no. There's no way to leave et out. Lo sagit lo katam. You need to be mavsik between Mama Gavon and Mama Nahed yet. Therefore, now comes along the vav to tell me that the din of Barosho applies to both. Arvekra. Omer Rabbi Lo, gonav tlev anas ayo. Ego vanas ashar, nas ashinu biyodai, vikonai. According to you, according to you, what? It makes sense? Let's say. So, Amai Mishalim Kenshiganav. Why isn't he being Mishalim Kihashta? I'm like, well, Kihashta, I had a time of Mishalim. Bishum Normalay, Turagan Vimicha, Dikragan Vimcha. I mean I took a little egel. Amalay, oh God, help us, Rahman Litzami Aidaita. Amalay, if God needs to help anybody, he needs to help me from people like you. Rahman Litzami Daita Didak. Matkibla Ribizera, madman, Vidiknina Bishino Hashem. Amarav, this is not really a problem. Shor ben Yomakori Shor, Ayel ben Yomakori Ayel, Shor ben Yomakori Shor Dikhtiv, Shor Kesavor is Kivalate. Ayel ben Yomakori Ayel. Because Yaakov Avinu said, "Ve'eleitz on chalo akalti." Oh, that's really great. Elimu delo akal, but the nice soft kvasim that he had plenty of. So shvarma he used to eat every night. Elolav shmamina ayo ben yomo karui ayo. Mikom kasha.